the Israeli government through the power and influence of the Israeli lobby. If the Israeli people have been betrayed, as Huckabee says, it is the Israeli lobby in this country that bears the sole responsibility. On July 5, 1977, on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, an article appeared entitled "The Potent Persuaders," a portion of which article is set Washington Congressman Thomas Downey, the young and liberal Democrat from Long Island, considers himself a good friend of Israel. But last year he had doubts about a foreign aid bill, even though it contained more than $1.7 billion for the Jewish state. His mettle was running strongly against foreign aid in general, and Mr. Downey was so some concerned rabbis came to call. They wanted a positive vote on Israel's behalf. As the congressman remembers, he said he would suppress his qualms if there was a show of support from his own district, where only 5% of the voters are Jewish. 2 days later, he received 3,000 telegrams from constituents, and that is the so-called Israeli lobby in action, mobilizing support whenever it thinks interests of the Jewish nation are at stake. It may well be the most effective of the many pressure groups in Washington variously admired or feared. It zealously guards Israeli interests against the vicissitudes of US presidents and legislators whose perceptions don't always square with those of Jerusalem, or of the influential American Jewish community. Its main goal is to get the maximum possible political, economic, and military support for Israel. Achievements and criticisms. The lobby's achievements are numerous. But critics contend that it sometimes undermines broader U.S. goals by its fervent backing of one side in the long-running Middle East dispute, and thus hinders a cause of peace. There are also complaints that the lobby's tactics can be abrasive, eroding sympathy for the Israeli. The debate over Israel's future will intensify this summer. That is because some basic policy differences between Washington and Jerusalem have become obvious as Mideast negotiations grow more serious. Many Israelis and American Jews fear that President Carter is trying to impose American-made peace terms on the region, terms that they feel might be extremely dangerous to Israel. A serious confrontation looms, and this prospect has already activated the worried lobby. New government in Israel, preventing such a showdown is the lobby's current task. The assignment seems especially urgent now that a conservative government has taken office in Israel after 29 years of Labour Party dominance. Its ideas about peace terms differ sharply from those of Mr. Carter. Most notably, the new Prime Minister, Menachem Begin, considers the occupied West Bank of the Jordan River, the biblical Judea and Samaria, to be Israeli land by historical right. He calls it liberated territory, although President Carter says most or all should be returned to Arab control. The degree of difference will be tested when Mr. Begin meets President Carter here beginning July 19. A campaign to muffle potential disputes is underway. Leaders of American Jewish organizations, politicians friendly to Israel, Israeli diplomats, and the official registered lobbying organization the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee are all in action. One broad goal is to convince the White House, Congress, and the U.S. public that neither Mr. Begin nor his policies are really outlandish, and that he is a moderate man with broad support at home. Although he once led a violent urban guerrilla force, Israel's friends insist that Mr. Begin isn't a bomb thrower who will sabotage peace efforts. Bridging the gap, another goal of Israel's supporters is to convince President Carter to talk less, and, in particular, to stop calling for major Israeli territorial withdrawals and an unspecified homeland for Arab Palestinians. To a degree, it is working. Mr. Carter last week promised to refrain from additional comments on specifics until he meets Mr. Begin. But earlier, the administration repeated its insistence that peace terms must include major withdrawals and a Palestinian homeland. Mr. Begin's position is that Israel won't under any conditions withdraw to the borders that existed before the 1967 war, and won't agree to the establishing of a Palestinian state on the West Bank and in Gaza. American Jewish leaders are counseling Mr. Begin to cool it a bit. They want him to stress flexibility when discussing peace talks, and avoid pinning himself down to hard and controversial positions. Thus, he says he will discuss anything with the Arabs, even though there is much he will never agree to. Jewish leaders also want him to drop such terms as liberated territories, which can have an adverse impact with the US public. Israel supporters, of course, include most of this nation's 6 million Jews, who feel strong religious, ethnic, or political ties to the tiny nation. Because of this affinity, many are willing to work for Israel's cause by sending cables to congressmen, or making political contributions, for example. As a group, they also have unusual political savvy. They are plugged into the Washington-based network, a veteran congressional staffer says. They are well armed with the usual vehicles that lobbyists need, they are adept and intelligent and they know how these cats meow. Stressing moderation, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, led by its aggressive, if not abrasive director, Morris Amitai, is cranking out a flood of press releases and statements that stress Mr. Begin's moderation. The pro-Israel operatives here are working closely with the new government in Israel. Some met recently with Shmuel Katz, who was sent to the U.S. as Mr. Begin's personal representative. Democratic Senator Richard Stone of Florida, one of Israel's staunchest friends, visited Mr. Begin in Israel to counsel caution after conferring here with 7 concerned senators who regularly support Israel. Begin policy as enunciated so far can only lead to disorder, an influential ally of Israel worries. It would create, for the first time, a deep schism between Israel and the American Jewish community. Rallying behind Begin, for now, however, Jewish leaders are rallying behind Mr. Begin, stressing as does Rabbi Schindler that he has been for 29 years a responsible leader of the loyal opposition, and isn't by nature a fanatical terrorist. There is emerging in the American Jewish community a feeling that we have to be supportive of Begin, the rabbi says. He argues that the prime minister will prove flexible on all major peace issues including withdrawal from West Bank territories. If a confrontation does come nonetheless, much of the Israeli lobby's efforts will be focused on Congress, where it is often possible to thwart the executive branch. The most conspicuous action might well occur in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. This committee and its staffers can make things happen. When the Ford administration began a reassessment of Mideast policy in 1975, staff members got 76 senators to sign a letter of support for Israel, effectively squelching the administration move for policy changes. When Mr. Carter's new arms sales policy didn't specifically promise special treatment for Israel, a Senate committee uproar caused him to revise it hurriedly. And in secret bill writing sessions, staffers often get aid terms for Israel modified, as by lowering loan interest rates. Arousing anger, all this has angered successive administrations. Aides to former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger say the lobby's opposition forced him to drop thoughts of seeking a comprehensive Mideast peace settlement last year. Secretary of State Cyrus Vance is unhappy about Senate leaks of secret information he made available in May. 2 days later, it appeared in the Israeli press. And when President Carter recently planned to meet secretly with 4 key senators who back Israel, the word was somehow passed to lobbyist Amitai, who called on each one to shore up his support before the meeting occurred. Critics contend that such tactics don't always serve either American or Israeli long-term interests. Some think a confrontation between Washington and Jerusalem, possibly leading to a schism within the American Jewish community, could damage chances for Mideast peace and radicalize the Arab world. Senator Abra Bickoff of Connecticut, a leading supporter of Israel, has expressed this fear publicly. Several congressional sources contend that opposition to a particular pro-Israel measure, such as a plan to send deadly concussion bombs to the Jerusalem government, can bring suggestions that the opponents are secretly anti-Semitic. Several legislators and staffers strongly resent such suggestions. That's the pervasive fear they strike in the hearts of members up here, one Capitol Hill aide says. I fear in opposition, you get a big white paintbrush that says you're anti-Semitic. As Democratic Representative David Abay of Wisconsin sees it, if you question their programs, they say you are for their enemies and against the